Welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. Please head over to our website, bethelbrandon.ca, to figure out how we can best serve you.
This congregation are what you would call directions people. Do you know what I mean by directions, people? So like if you go to the store and you have children and you're going to create like a swing set for them and either that or you go to IKEA and you buy some furniture at IKEA and you will always get something that says some assembly required on the outside of the box. And with that, or either that, or you get some kind of booklet that says, please read instructions completely before operating this device. There are people I find who are directions people, and there are people who are not so much direction people. Let me ask you today, which one are you? Are you in the household where one is a directions person and the other person is not a directions person? Not wanting to start any arguments. I'll just tell you that I am not always that person. Sometimes pride gets the best of me. Like, after all, how stupid can these people think that I am? You know, you just put the screw and the bolt in the place and it goes through and you put the other things there and finally you will have something which is built. And what difference does it make if there's not a couple of screws and bolts and springs that are left afterwards? The thing I figure is they usually give you extra parts in case you lose one. Amen. Amen, says the one or two who are not direction people. But there are some times, is there not, where you think you know the directions and you think you know which way you're going, and sometimes you say, uh-oh, I think I did it wrong, and so what you do is you go to the directions. Because, hey, after all, who knows how to put things together other than the Creator, right? It is the Creator of the furniture or whatever that made it. So therefore, he or she, whoever it is the one who will best be able to tell you how to put things together. Do you see the spiritual connection with that? When it comes to direction and when it comes to instructions in our lives, we're better off to go to the Creator because he is the one who created us. Just makes sense, does it not? There was something that happened in February of 2004, addition to Trail magazine. And Trail magazine is actually a mountain climbers magazine. So therefore, there probably aren't too many subscribers of Trail magazine in Manitoba or Saskatchewan for that matter. I'm just hazarding a guess. Are there any people here who have subscribed to Trail magazine? Okay, whew, I just didn't want to offend anybody. What happened is in February 2004, in Trail magazine, they realized that there are people who were having problems coming down from Ben Nevis, which is the highest peak in Britain. It is the highest mountain, about 4,500 feet. And I have found, I don't know anything about mountain climber. As you see, the way I look, you think, this guy's not a mountain climber. And you would be right. But I have heard that the challenge to mountain climbing is not getting to the top of the mountain per se. That sometimes the greater challenge is getting down from the mountain. Because when you get to the top of the mountain, everything's wonderful and it's bright and it's sunny. But as you go down, it gets dark and it gets cloudy and it gets misty and it gets foggy. And so there was problems that were taking place. And so someone sat there and gave directions on how to get down, step by step, on how to get down, navigating down Mount Ben Nevis. Here's the problem. From the time of the directions and the publication of the directions, they left one sentence out. And if you followed those directions, you would go to a 1,000-foot drop into a gully. It is important to have the right directions. That's all I'm saying. That would certainly prove it. And so over the last 3 weeks, we've talked about going God's way. I've never, ever met a follower of Jesus. I've never met someone who passionately loves God, who does not want God's direction. But the question I begin to ask myself is how active am I in seeking God's direction? So what kind of picture can I give you? How through the Word of God can I show you the importance of this that you might be able to take somewhere down the road to live a life that somehow fulfills the destiny that God has for us? Because after all, isn't that what we want to do? Do we not want to fulfill the destiny that God has made for us since He is the one who created us? That just kind of makes sense, does it not? There's an obscure passage of Scripture. In the book of Acts, as Paul is talking, whoever is preaching, and he makes this statement, and sometimes if you're reading quickly through your devotions, you kind of miss it. You don't really think anything of it. It says this, now David had served God's purpose in his own generation. Okay, well, what? Well, I thought about that for a little while, and I realized this would be something that I would want to be said about me. And basically, it says this. David, the way he lived his life, fulfilled God's will. He fulfilled the purpose that God had for him. And what a greater thing that could be said of you when you get to heaven and you are before God. And he says, you know what? You did exactly what I asked you to do. You fulfilled the destiny that we have. And so this is the question we ask ourselves. How do we walk in step with God? How are we led in our daily affairs to make the right decisions, to make those decisions at the pinnacle of our life? You know, those watershed moments in our lives where all of a sudden everything is important, the decision that we make. How do we know and how do we prepare ourselves for those times? That's the main question we want to ask ourselves. This is something that I would love to give to you if we are able as we take a look at the Word of God. And here's the thing that we've learned over the first 2 weeks, that spiritual direction starts with a relationship with God. That many times what happens is we don't think about spiritual direction until we find ourselves in the hole, until we find ourselves in the crisis, until we find ourselves with that place where we're not too sure what to do. And then we ask for wisdom. But the Scripture says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. And that's what we do. But if you take a look at the whole passage of Scripture like we did last week, that it is part of a whole process to hide the Word of God in your heart, to show mercy and write that on the table of your heart, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. We realize that there's a heart issue here. Don't look wise in your own eyes. Give the first fruits of everything that you have and your finances, everything. Give that first to the Lord. Prioritize God and don't get upset or don't get too down when the hand of God is disciplining you or you feel that the hand of God is disciplining you. There is a process. The true wisdom starts from day one. It starts at that point where we say yes to Jesus and I'm going to live for you every single day of my life. And it goes something like this, that if I'm going to be faithful in the priority steps, it will prepare me for the pinnacle steps. Let me say that again. That if I can be faithful in the primary steps, I'll be prepared in the pinnacle steps. And this is important. I realize this is important because I have found that as a pastor for a number of decades, that many of the people who have come and sat at my desk and people who I have prayed over, many, many times it has to deal with a thought of this. God, I'm not too sure what to do. Can you pray for me? Because this is my dilemma. This is what I'm going through. And I'm not too sure which way to go. So what I'd like to do, if I could, I want to show you, reveal something to you, which to me, I believe is very powerful. Something that might interest you, something that hopefully you can take in as you're trying to figure all this out and as you're trying to figure life out and decisions that you make. I want to talk about the cooperation of God in the process of Him leading you through pathways in your life. What does this look like? And by that, I mean this, that God works in an incredible way. But to understand God for who He is, the Godhead, He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God and three personalities. There is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you take a look closely at the Scripture, you will realize that all three work in cooperation in trying to allow you to live a life of destiny before God. And Scripture shows that. And so let me kind of give me a couple of minutes, then I'll be able to kind of reveal some of these things to you. And my hope is that the Holy Spirit will help you wherever you are at in terms of your walk, in terms of looking for direction, in terms of calling on God and living a life of wisdom and direction and instruction from God. Amen? Amen. First thing is what I'll call the will of the Father. Then I'm going to talk about the way of the Son. And then I'm going to talk about the working of the Holy Spirit. Well, let's start off with the will of the Father. How does God the Father help in the process of us coming to know and follow his pathways? Well, here's what I've come to find. That many times in the scriptures, New Testament and the Old Testament, there are familiar phrases that are used throughout scripture. And all of them, and many of them have to do with God directing and God leading our lives. And I'll show you three particular instances where we see it, particularly when it comes to God. The first one is this. The statement is you'll see it a lot in scripture is this. He will direct our steps. Hey, in the passage in Proverbs that we're going through, he will direct our paths. Pretty well the same thing, isn't it? But there's the one passage here, Psalm chapter 37, verse 23 and 24. He says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. Now, for those of you King James fans, it says this, rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. Why do we know that? Reason we know that was because there was a great song a number of years ago that we used to sing in our churches, and they weren't like those old kind of fuddy-duddy songs. This one kind of had a beat. Remember it? Rejoice for the steps of a righteous man. They are ordered of God. They are ordered of God. Biddy-boom. Something like that. No biddy-boom, but you know, it kind of makes you say biddy-boom afterwards. Repeat after me. Biddity boom. All right. Here's what I found about this passage. Not only are the steps of the Lord ordered by God, but sometimes the stops of the Lord are directed by the Lord. And sometimes you will find yourselves where you're held up. You will find yourself where you think you're not going anywhere, and God is in that. The other wonderful thing about this passage of scripture is this. It says, and though he may stumble. Well, that kind of says this. There are times in life when you're going to stumble. You know, you're going to have to take heart in that time. But there are times when you will have low times. And the God in the high times, you know, will also be God in the low times. He will be there in the stride times, but he'll also be there in the stumble times. But it says, directs my path. How about Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9? We can make our own plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Here it is again. How about Proverbs 20, verses 24? The steps of man are from the Lord, but how can a man understand his own way? That's the whole thing about the fact. If God created you, he knows the steps that you ought to take. So does this thing direct your steps? How about this statement? The way that you should go. Isaiah 48, verses 7, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit, who directs you in the way that you should go. Psalm chapter 32, verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go. I will give you counsel and I will watch over you. You see the pattern? And in many times throughout scriptures, you hear the same lines. They're like key lines that the Holy Spirit implements in the scriptures to direct us to the fact that God is watching over you and directing us as we serve him with all of our hearts. The last one is this, to make straight your path. He will direct your path. Proverbs 4, verses 11 and 12. I will guide you in the way of wisdom. I will lead you on straight paths. When you walk, your steps will be not impeded. When you run, you will not stumble. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 talks about making straight your paths. All throughout scriptures, there are patterns as to the fact that God is wanting and desiring to move in your life. But the way it is described in scripture, the way we read it in scripture is unique because as God talks, and we talk about God the Father leading and guiding us, it's about the whole journey. that as you look along the path, as God sees the way you go, he kind of sees it in the whole matter, and he guides you in those times and directs you. So what about the way of the Son? Is the way God directs different than the way that the Son of God, the Son, directs? Well, I guess not entirely, but it seems to have a different emphasis. I don't know if you realize this, and for those of you who are kind of just kind of fresh along the way in your faith, in the book of John, there are seven statements that John talks about Jesus, and then Jesus actually says they are called the I am statements. They are kind of declarations that are kind of made, bold statements as to who he says I am. I'm the bread of life. It was one of them, but there are seven. Three of them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. All of those have to do with direction. He says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me because they know my voice. And if God is all about the journey, Jesus, the Son, is all about the destination. And when we talk and think about our lives, ultimately the direction for our lives is to be like Jesus. That is the goal. Is that your goal? In everything you do, and all the business decisions that you have to make while you go to school, while you're sitting in classes, while you're parenting your children, and while you're watching over your senior adults, all of those things, is the attitude to be like Jesus. It's this scene in Scripture. In the book of Philippians, they had huge problems. And in that, Paul is addressing the situation. You guys aren't getting along. And what he says is this, the same mind should be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes into a whole passage of how Christ came and became obedient to death and humbled himself to the point of a servant. He says, he basically is saying this, the goal is to be like Jesus. And then a chapter later, he basically says this, I want to know him. So he says, but he says it in two ways. He says, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings. Whether good, whether bad, whether it's top of the mountain, whether I am suffering, the goal is to be like Jesus. There is the will of the Father. There is the way of the Son. And the one I think that we most relate to would be the working of the Spirit. Especially as a Pentecostal church, this is kind of what we kind of set our foundation on, the working of the Spirit. And this is just only logical when we stop and consider what the work of the Spirit is to do. That when Jesus, before he died, says, I am going to bring someone and that person is going to reside in you. He is going to teach you and leading you in the way. And the major thing about the New Testament body of Christ is the fact that when you come to know Jesus, you're a new creation. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit resides in you. So it's only logical to say that as the Spirit of God works in your heart, he is working to direct you in the right path, to make you more like Jesus. He's doing both that of the Father and that of the Son. You read John chapter 14, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, this is John speaking. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. The Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth, it later says. This is what it was about. The Spirit will work in your life. It says it even in the Old Testament passages. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. The work of the Spirit. Even Paul chimes in. Hey, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. And we see it throughout Scriptures. We see it through John talking about the Holy Spirit. We see it about Peter talking about the Holy Spirit. And all of the book of Acts, which is Luke talking. You ever find that funny? And I'm not too sure if you've ever noticed it. That what John says about the Holy Spirit is unique. What Paul says about the Holy Spirit is unique, and what Luke says about the Holy Spirit is unique. But altogether, we get a rounded view of what it's like. And Luke, as he's going through the book of Acts, he talks about the Holy Spirit at work. You know, Paul, all of a sudden, on the road to Damascus, has this terrible thing happening. He goes back to Damascus, and the Holy Spirit speaks to a guy named Ananias. Hey, go pray for this guy. Pray for his healing. What? You know who this guy is? Yes, I do. He's going to suffer lots of things for the Lord, but you got to go do this. And he does it, right? Later on in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit says, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for that first missionary journey, right? Acts chapter 9, a guy named Cornelius. Holy Spirit speaks to him. Listen, you need to have Peter come here. Go fetch Peter. At the same time, while he's going to fetch Peter, he speaks to Peter and says, go with them, right? Paul, as he's on his missionary journey, says, you know what? I hear some guy from Macedonia saying, come and help us. And he does. And there is birthed the Philippian church. What is with me with the Philippines? I should have just left that out. Anyways, it's just funny. You know, how does God move by his Spirit? Well, there's lots of ways that can be explained. I find that there are a number of ways. He works through impressions many times. Many times he just speaks to our heart. Many times there is just some type of a heaviness in our heart that God will place there. It says in the book of Acts 2, after Peter spoke, says they were cut to the heart. Well, that was the Holy Spirit somehow speaking to him, somehow, in some way. And sometimes it's through that somebody oughta experience. You know that somebody oughta experience? What's the somebody oughta experience? Well, you're in church and you see something that's not happening, and you say, somebody oughta do that. Somebody ought to start this ministry. Pastor, somebody ought to do this. I said, yes. But he wasn't asking me to do it. He's asking you to do it. So maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about something like that. And many times ministries are started by somebody ought to impressions upon their heart. Somebody needs to do something about that neighborhood. Somebody needs to do something about that country. There's nobody who knows that country. And many missionaries have traveled across the world to minister to people and taking jobs that they could have had and just casting it aside to do the work of the gospel because there's an impression on their heart. Somehow there's a scripture that comes. You've read that scripture 10 or 20 times before, but for some reason it comes alive to you this day. There's an impression. God is speaking to you. You're in the service, and somehow you're thinking, this guy, this preacher, this girl, this preacher, she is reading my mail somehow because somehow everything that they're saying applies to my life. There's just an impression. Somehow the Spirit of God is moving deeply within those confines. And you begin to weep. And you say, why am I weeping? I'm not too sure. Something's happening inside of me. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need to come to the front. There's a tug in my heart. Well, it wasn't exactly what he was talking about. I can't come to the front. Well, the Spirit of God is tugging your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's the impression. There's the inclination. Well, how's the inclination different from the impression? Well, the inclination is the times when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and telling you to do something at that particular time. You ever have that happen? Hey, that person's going through a difficult time. I can tell. And the Holy Spirit says, you know what? You got $50 in your wallet. Put it in a card. Give them to them. That person needs encouragement. That person needs a phone call. That person is down. Needs somebody to be a light to them. I remember when my mother died. And my mother was not too sure exactly what to do with all the things and the bills and stuff like that. And one of my closest friends, Dad, was a financial advisor, led by the Holy Spirit. Didn't know my mom at all, just knew me. He said this. He said, you know what, I'm a financial advisor. You don't know me. I know your son from church. He said, there's lots of things that I can do to help you. Would you be willing for me to help? Save my mom. It's amazing what God does through inclination. The times where the Spirit whispers into your heart to say something, to pray something, to do something, to go somewhere, to be obedient at the time, the inclination, the insight. The times where you're really looking for something, you're praying, you're calling unto God, and nothing, you have nothing, until all of a sudden something happens. Boom. God gives you some type of supernatural clarity for the moment, an insight that you don't know about other than by the Spirit of God. What about the imparting? The imparting of gifts. You know, it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, these nine gifts of the Spirit, three of them, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits, all have to do with the Holy Spirit giving us information in a time we wouldn't know, dreams, visions, all these things. And that whole process, as you live out, you begin to read and understand how God is working and moving in our lives, and there is the will of the Father, Him moving in the whole general picture. And there is the way of the Son to realize that He is the destination. We are supposed to be like Him in every situation. And the working of the Spirit, who is continually urging your heart, pushing you and pulling you in the way that God wants you to go. And this is important. I ask myself after every sermon I create a thing, what is the so what factor? Here's what the Word of God, so what? Well, what does this show me? It shows me that there is a God who didn't just wind you up like a watch. He didn't just create you and wind you like a watch and say, there you go, you're on your own. The God is actively involved, desiring for you to do His will, to fulfill a purpose, that you are not an accident, that there is things that God desires to do through you, whether you think you are important or whether you are not. If you are here and you are breathing, that God desires to set you in a way that will glorify Him and fulfill His purpose for your life. Amen. Not only that, He is actively, continually operating in your lives, and He is there because of grace, and He's there because of forgiveness. Because you know what? If it wasn't for God's grace and it wasn't for God's forgiveness, then we wouldn't be in a good spot. And it doesn't matter how far you have traveled away, God is still working in your life. I don't know if you've ever heard of Roy Riggles. Anybody heard Roy Riggles? Probably not. He's known as Wrong Way Riggles. That's his name. That's what he had to live down the rest of his life. How was that? Well, in the 1929 Rose Bowl, he played for California State University, playing against Georgia Tech. The game was close halfway through the second quarter, and him being the center at the time, all of a sudden there is a fumble. He recovers the fumble, and he runs. 65 yards in the wrong direction. And it isn't until his friend Benny Lohm, who is much faster than him, tackles him on the 3-yard line. So it is 3rd and 75 yards to go. And as they punt, they block the punt and they get a safety. And all of a sudden, the half comes. And many times that's all you hear about it. The great thing about this story is that during halftime, coach didn't say much, realizing that this really hurt the team. And so everybody sat in their spot, and Roy Riggles, he sits in the corner with a towel over his head so nobody can see him. And so the time's a lot, and they get the warning that there's 3 minutes left before you got to be on the field, and he basically says this. Coach says this. He says, the same 12 who started the game will be the same 12 who will start the second half. Everybody agrees. They go out. Regal stays there. And the coach talks to him and says, did you not hear? We got to get going. He says, coach, I blew it. I ruined things. I ruined things for the university. I ruined things for you. I ruined things for my whole life. And the coach says this. He says, you need to get back in there. You know why? Because it's only halftime. Here's the thing. We can all relate to Roy Riggles because many of us have gone the wrong direction. But here's the thing. God in His mercy and His forgiveness and love has made a hope in us despite how far you have gone in the wrong direction. It's only halftime, folks. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what mistakes you've made. I don't care what penalties you are paying for or what's going on or what's happening in your life. God cares about you. He has a plan for you. Are you going to allow Him to do great things for Him? God, I just pray for every single person who is here. Whatever history they have, whatever they're going through, whatever current situation they are facing, that you love us, that you're working through us, that you got a job, a destiny that you want us fulfilled for you. And so, Lord, we say yes to you. Whatever situation we're in, whatever condition we are in, Father, we say yes to you. God, move in my life. God, make something beautiful. Make something good out of my life. Lord, direct the steps of my life. Holy Spirit, move in a powerful way. Jesus, help me to be like you in every step, in every way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, please head over to bethelbrandon.ca to listen to our older messages or maybe connect with us and figure out how we can best serve you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.